Heavenly Father, we appreciate you for that which you have been doing in our lives. We give you gratitude from the depth of our hearts. Lord, this morning, as we go into your word this morning, we know you are still going to do a great and mighty things. Lord, I ask that your word will come out with your power this day. And I ask, O Lord God, that it will profit your people. I pray, O Lord God, for free entrance of your word. And I bind every spirit that is buying and selling. And I cast them out of this auditorium in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let your word have your way in the lives of your people. And let it come from the throne of grace without any form of hindrance in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we are praying. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. We want to bless the name of the Lord this morning for the privilege we have to be in his presence. And today, I am going to conclude my message, which I started the last time. And can somebody remind me the title of the message? Can somebody remind me? I want to know whether you are a good student. Otherwise, just go back and sit down and we just share the grace and leave. What's the title? Sufficiency of Grace. Clap yourselves. If nobody remember, I'll just share the grace and put down the microphone. There's no need again. Sufficiency of grace. And we'll go back to our text, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Can we read it again? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Remember, I said that no matter how much you prepare for a thing, you might want to do something. No matter how much you try, your preparation can never be enough. I don't know what you want to have, what you want to do, or what you are actually aspiring to. There is no way as a human being that your preparation can be 100% adequate. Today, we are talking about the election in Nigeria. Go and ask the politicians. Some of them have spent millions and billions of naira. And when they saw the result, it's as if they didn't do anything. Many of them had done so many things and they were so sure of victory. But today, as we are here in the church, many of them are mourning and weeping. Why? Because their strength has failed them. But the Bible says that I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest in me. Children of God, I want to remind you of what I said that day, that it is not a matter of what you can or you cannot do, but it's a matter of what's the ability of God, what the grace of God can accomplish. When you are talking about the grace of God, I said the God factor is the dominant thing. And when God factor is in a situation, your ability goes to insignificance. And I told you of the story of a man called Moses who was given a job he was never qualified for. He saw himself that he was not qualified. Even his people disqualified him and did not have any credentials to go before the palace and said I was going to do the job. But because the grace of God came upon him, it transformed his life. And he made even somebody that was more qualified, and the person of Aaron was more eloquent to be his second in command, his subordinate. And I was telling you that no matter what you see today as your inability, no matter what you see as your inadequacy, if you are a child of God and you hold on unto him, you can trust him for his grace to actually cover for your deficiency. And that nobody, on the account of his inability, throw himself away and write himself off if you believe that there's grace of God that's available. And I talk about so many people who have encountered the grace and how the grace of God has transformed their lives. But this morning, I want to conclude this part of the message by saying, where do we find grace? Grace is powerful. It qualifies you for what you are not naturally qualified for. It gives you what naturally should not belong unto you. It places you in a position on a pedestal that nobody will ever think you are qualified for. Grace does that. But where do you find grace? Because it is free. Does it mean that there's nothing to it? Yes, grace is what we need. But then, where do you find grace? This morning, I want to say, firstly, you can only find grace in his covenant. Anybody who is looking for grace, if God is saying, my grace is sufficient for you, that you glorify even your weakness, even though you are not qualified, even though people have written you up, even though I say you cannot make it, but you can say, look, grace of God is sufficient for me. Where do you find that grace? You can only find grace when you are in his covenant. As Pastor was leading us in the prayer submission this morning, and as he opened the passage, I just opened my sermon note and I showed to my wife. I said, can you see that the Spirit of God is one? I said, you can find grace firstly in his covenant. And where I'm going to read is exactly the passage that Pastor read this morning, but with a little bit of more exposition. Numbers chapter 23, verse 20 to 21. Numbers 23, let us read quickly from verse 20 to 21, hoping the media will project for us. Now, we are hearing here the story of the people of Israel. Remember, Israel are descendants of Jacob. And the Bible says, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he had blessed. I cannot reverse it. It's irreversible. I cannot change it. I don't have the power, the ability, and the instrumentality to change it. And verse 21, why? He had not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither had he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Now let me dilate a little bit on this. Jacob, as we know, was a supplanter. And the Lord changed his name to become Israel. And at this point in time, Balak was seeking a way to actually, because he knew the blessing of God was upon them. The only way he could deal with them is to remove the blessing and replace the curse. And he thought what he could do was to get a man of God to do that. But unfortunately for him, he didn't understand that these people are a people of a covenant. And he hired Balak. And against all odds, Balak went with him. And when Balak spoke, he said, look, God spoke through him. These people are already blessed. I cannot reverse it. But the verse 21 is important. He said, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither is sin perverseness in Israel. Let me tell you something. He has not beheld does not mean he has not found. Are you listening to me? It does not mean there was no iniquity in Jacob. It does not mean there was no perverseness in Israel. Because these were people that were murmuring. If you have read your Bible before this passage, these were people that had disobeyed him. These are people that have cried and even lost faith and confidence in him. These were people that have complained to Moses about whether they should come to trust this God or not. But because they were found in a covenant, and God realized that what Balak wanted to do with Balaam would change his covenant, he covered them with his grace. He said, I have not beheld. It's just like the case. See, as Christians, the only difference between us is that we are children of God. And we have the Spirit of God that abhors evil. And we carry the grace. But it does not mean we are perfect. Are you listening to me? That's why the Bible says, if the Lord shall mark iniquity, who shall stand? It's not merely about the sin of commission, but also the sin of omission. And the devil is always looking for a legal ground to deal with people. And so if you are located in the covenant of God, even when the devil finds the legal ground, God will use grace to cover it. And that was said that in the place of judgment, mercy will speak because grace is available. So here, let me tell you, Balak knew there was iniquity in Jacob. He knew there was perverseness in Israel. He was holding on to that legal ground, so and that way was said they should be cursed. I remember when I was first born again as a young child, I was a young Christian, and one Islamic cleric, because I came from a Muslim background, and he heard I was born again, was preaching to others to be born, come born again. He challenged me. He said he was going to put place a curse on my life. I said, sir, curse not the curseless. I said, I'm beyond cursed by the grace of God. I was just a young boy. And the man said, he brought out his book and he placed a curse on me that you will never prosper in life. I said, sir, I will prosper in your lifetime and you will see it. And to the glory of God, I prospered in his lifetime and God used me to bless him. When you are in the covenant, when you are located within the covenant, you find the grace to annul any kind of legal ground the enemy wants to hold on to attack you. But when you are not in the covenant, you cannot operate in grace. The covenant that Jacob entered into, if you look at, let's look at the beginning of that covenant. Go to Genesis chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 20 to 21. Genesis chapter 20, verse 20 to 21. If we can project it, we do. Otherwise, somebody will read it for us. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 to 21. Now, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. So God, Jacob already made a covenant that God will be his God. God showed, revealed himself to Jacob, and Jacob turned into a covenant that this God will be my God. And therefore, God, if you read verse 12 of that chapter, there was a conversation between God and Jacob before he himself now talked. Let's go, for, please just go to verse 12, that's chapter 20, verse 12 and 13 quickly. Genesis, not James, please. Genesis chapter 28. Let's read verse 12 and 13. I will now link it to where we're just saying 20 to 21. See, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the heart,
and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angel of God descended and ascended on it. And verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, look at it, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land wherein thou layest to thee will I give it unto thy seed. Now God appeared to Jacob. He told him, I am God of Abraham, your grandfather. I am God of Isaac, your immediate father. And I am ready to give you the land. And so when Jacob here, he now turned it to a covenant. He then covenanted with God. That was keep on saying to us in this church, that he's the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. God does not have grandchildren. The covenant God entered with Abraham, he entered with Isaac, and then Jacob, then who will now be our progenitor, needed to covenant with God. So Jacob covenanted with God, and God already became his God, and by extension all his seed. And so when the enemy now came and said, look, curse these people so that I can wipe them out, God said, no, I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob. It doesn't mean iniquity was not found in Jacob. Are you listening to me? Does not mean perverseness was not found in Israel. But the grace of God removed the legal ground. This morning, every legal ground upon which enemy is standing to attack your life, I decree by the anointing of the living God that the grace of God will take it away in the mighty name of Jesus. When grace is not available, you are subject to the consequences of the law. When grace is not available, you are subject to the consequences of judgment. But when grace is available and you are in his covenant, he takes away every legality and turn judgment and replace it with mercy. But the first thing, that is only in his covenant that you can find grace. You cannot begin to claim grace outside his covenant. So I am challenging anybody this morning who is in this congregation and he has been hearing God is a God of grace, God is God of mercy, God is God of favor, and you are not yet born again. Oh, my brother, my sister, you are deceiving yourself. Let me tell you, there's nothing you can do in this world that can be enough. Some people go through the world and thinking it's their qualification that will give them promotion. But let me tell you, when you have grace, you get promoted by preference. Because nowadays, many people have what you have. There's nothing you can claim that people do not have in Nigeria today. Is it a lie? So if you are aspiring to go forward in life just by qualification, it will be a life of struggle. But when grace is there, you will move forward by preference. Tell somebody, I will move forward by preference. It does not mean you don't have qualification. It does not mean you won't be prepared. But you need the grace of God to come upon it. So you can only find grace when you are in his covenant. Let nobody know this. If you are here today, you are here to give out to Christ. Don't step out of this church today without coming to that covenant, so that the grace of God can be over your life. And secondly, I want to let you know that grace is only found in the place of obedience. When you are in the covenant, you must live in obedience. Because for as long as you live in obedience to God, the grace of God will work wonders for you. I told you about Moses. A man was a stammerer. A man was a murderer. A man who had no credential. A man who ran away from Israel as a vagabond. And God brought him back as a savior and messiah. And grace started working upon his life. And for as long as he was under the obedience of God, the grace was powerful. It will stretch his rod upon the Red Sea, and then it will part away.
There was a time, even out of anger, he smote the rock, water gushed out like madness. He will go before Pharaoh, he will decree things and will come to pass. But when in a split moment of disobedience, and grace was seemingly momentarily suspended, what happened? He dropped dead. And demons started fighting for his body. Momentarily, when it looked as if the grace was suspended, a man that was a Messiah fell down and dropped dead. And his dead body was not being celebrated by angels. Demons wanted to fight for his body, but God had to step in. This is my home. You can't take him away. So we must not say we carry the grace of God and be living in disobedience. When you want to continue to operate in grace, first you have to be in the covenant, and then you must walk in obedience. And number three, because of my time, you can only find grace in the place of humility. What did I say? If you are looking for grace, go and stand on the platform of humility. You are in his covenant. You are walking in obedience. Stand on the platform of humility. If you want grace, because the Bible says he resists the proud and do what? He give grace to the humble. Is that in your Bible? He receives the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I will just show you something here in the Bible. If I go back in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, I want us to read from verse 9 to 12. 2 Kings Media, chapter 5. I want us to read from verse 9 to 12. And maybe somebody that can't find it, let us give him the microphone or have the microphone. So, please, I want to start again. Give her the microphone, please.
So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Mm-hmm. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage.
Now, in this passage, we know the story of Naaman. Remember, I was telling you the last time I started this message that up to today, I see wonder what kind of person Naaman was. This was an unbeliever. He was a Gentile. And apart from being a Gentile, he was a leper. And the Bible records that he was the leader of the army of Syria, a leper. And he was terrorizing the army of the people of God. And the question I keep on asking myself, what was Naaman used to fight the battle? Was it AK-47? What will he use to pull the trigger? Is it ballistic missile? What would he use to throw the missile? I'm not even sure he could be able to fight with a stick. How could he hold the stick? But somehow, God released
grace upon his life, and he was a champion. And so that went into his head. He was already a champion, an unbeliever that made the people of God to tremble. And so he saw himself as somebody that should be given all kind of honor. But God wanted to humble him, because God realized that he needed to know that everything belongs unto him. And God realized there was a pride in his life and wanted to bring it to a place of humility. He now asked him to go. It was just his own servant, remember, a young lady from Israel, told him that despite all you have, you are still a leper. So, and as long as you're a leper, you are not a complete human being. So why don't you go to the prophet Elisha, a prophet of Israel? This Israel you are terrorizing. Go to him and ask a solution to your problem, so that you will know that without God, you are nothing. And he went there after a lot of resistance. Look at what the Bible says in verse 12. He went before, he came in what? On his horses, chariot now. He came with chariot and horses. Was he coming to come and fight? Just to show his paraphernalia of office. You are not going to fight a battle. You are not going to fight a war. You are going to a place to look for help. And you are going to the man with chariot and... And when he got there, the Bible says he stood at the door. He didn't even go. Many people in those days, when you go to meet the prophet, you bow down before the prophet. Is that not right? You pay obeisance to the prophet. Is that not what you read in your Bible? You don't come to a prophet with an arrogant eye. But because Naaman saw himself as a champion, he did not even enter the house of Elisha. He just stood. I said, look, I'm here. And I thank God for the Spirit of God. Elisha put him in his place. Bible says, look at your Bible. He sent his messenger. Elijah did not even appear to him. So if you are too big to call me, you are too small for me to meet. That was the message that Elisha indirectly was telling Naaman. You might be a man of valor. You might be a warrior. You might be a leader of the army, but you cannot come and terrorize the anointing of God. You came with chariots, we came with horses, and you are living, and you stood at the gate. If you are too big to come and meet me, you are too small for me to meet. He sent a messenger, to ordinary messenger. I said, go and tell him what to do. And that thing really anger and annoy. They enrage him. He said, I even thought he was going to come out and call upon his God and put his hand upon my leprosy. Can you now see how can he ask me to go and wash in Abana and Fapa? Go to wash in Jordan. When we have River Abana, we are River Fapa that are notable. And let me tell you, historically, those two rivers, Abana and Fapa, they were the rivers that drained the land of Damascus. They were the river through which their land was having fertility. Their source of living was based on Abana and Fapa. And because of those two rivers, their land was always productive. But he did not know. Yes, prosperity might be in Abana or Fapa, but blessing and miracles is in Jordan. Sometimes the place of prosperity may not be a place of blessing. It may not be a place of grace. There was goodness, there was pr- prosperity and Abana in Fapa, there is only in Jordan that I could find grace for his miracle. So he felt that these were two very clean rivers and he couldn't go there to wash himself. But at the end of the day, what happened? He had to go back and swallow his pride. And when he now went to the same Jordan that he despised, what happened to him? He became old. What was God doing? God humbled him. He had things on the platter of gold. He thought it was because of his own power. He thought it was higher than even anybody. He thought he didn't need God. But God taught him a lesson in humility. He was looking at Abana. He was looking at Fapa. But only in Jordan that he found grace. So many places can offer you anything, but only Christ offers you grace. And no matter anything, no matter the appeal of anything outside Christ, you cannot find grace. So you can only find grace in the place of humility. So remember, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So, even if you are talented, even if you are gifted, even if you are blessed, if you want your life to be full of grace, don't put your eyes and your mind on all those things. Don't put your mind or your eyes on your talents, on your gifting, on the blessing that you have, on the prosperity that you have. As long as you begin to think that these are the things, the real thing, you can never find grace. And when a man has a lot of things and does not have grace, it's just a disaster waiting to happen. It's just a matter of time. So I've said three things now. The first thing, where do you find grace? In his covenant. Secondly, what? And thirdly, next. If you are looking for grace, you can only find grace in the place of commitment and communion. Anybody who wants his life to be full of grace, and you are looking for grace to help yourself, to help your weaknesses, you need to commit yourself to his work, to his service. You need to be content among the people whom God can depend on for his service, for his work. You have challenges, quite all right. You have issues, quite all right. You have things you are dealing with, quite all right. But don't let those things draw you away from God. Because as long as you are far away from God, you are getting far away from grace. But the closer you are to God, the more assurance you have that grace will speak for you. I keep on talking about the case of Zechariah. This was a man of God, a man from the lineage of the priest, and his wife Elizabeth. But they were barren. They had no issue. Year in, year out. Decades in, decade out. But they stay put. Zechariah was continuing the service of God. But was still why in the service that God met him. I don't know any challenge that anybody has today. And because of that, it's throwing you back to the world. Is drawing you away from God. I want you to know that one of the lies of the devil is to tell you that you need to reduce or to reevaluate your commitment to God because you have some challenges that you are dealing with.
But rather, even the means or challenges, throw yourself into the hands of God. Nobody can be the hands of God and fall flat. Are you listening to me? Nobody can rest solely on the hand of God and do what? And fall flat. It's not possible. But the devil will tell you, it's going to be terrible for you. It's going to be too late. You are not going to make it. You better do something else. It is when you continue in the place of commitment, in the place of sacrifice, that the grace of God will locate you. And let me tell you something. There's no grace in any other place than the presence of God, than in his service and his command, in sacrifice you make for him. And finally, I want to say that you can find the grace in the place of righteousness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 1, can we continue in sin and say that what? Grace you abound. Can we continue in sin and say that grace you abound? Each time I look at the book of Genesis, I was talking about generation of people and genealogy. I'm talking about Genesis chapter 5 now. Well, say this one, he begot sons and daughters. He lived so many years and died. Now said Methuselah, it was actually Enoch. Was it not that begot Methuselah? Or Methuselah that begot Enoch? Okay, let's look at Genesis. I think Genesis 25. Let's look at Genesis 25, Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. I think they are swapping their position in my head now. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Let's want to read it for me quickly. Uh-huh. Good. Okay, read it down. I just know it's not that the God is gone.
And he begat Methuselah. Mm-hmm. 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years.
So Enoch begot or begat, as the Bible put it, Methuselah. And Enoch only lived for 365 years. Methuselah lived for how many years? 969. He lived on 969. And the only story about him that he begot sons and daughter and he died. But the Bible says he not walked with God and was not. Can anybody walk with God without being holy? Are you listening to me? Can you walk with God without being righteous? Now, let me just now link that one with Daniel chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 quickly. And I will just pray after that. Daniel chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. That you can only find grace to help your weaknesses, to deal with your infirmities, your inability, your lack of correlation in righteousness. Daniel chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Okay, yes, we all know it. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food. What a sumptuous meal. What a tantalizing food. What an appealing situation. What a desirable honor. Daily provision from the royal food. Not just, there's a difference between royal food and ordinary food. No, let me digress for a moment and tell you this. So I think I told my wife before, and maybe Pastor, you will remember, the very first international conference I attended in my life. I don't know whether I must have told this story before. You still remember that story? We were then hosted in the state house outside this country. And when we got, that was my very first international conference. outside Nigeria. Anyway, internet conference cannot be in Nigeria. Some operate in Nigeria. You can have internet conference in Yeforogi. So I made the very first internet conference outside the country I attended. We were hosted in the state house. And when you see, the table was very long. And what they call a plate was like a tray. You know, it wasn't really a plate, it was a tray. You carry it. And on every table, there's a chef that will give you specification and what it is. This is the fish that was taken from Arabian Sea. And the fish, the first species was found about 355 years ago. It was weird. He will give you the story. You need to take a bit of it. You will long for more. So get there, will take a bit. Now you go to the Nile, say this is a lamb. Say this is an Asian lamb. It will give you that. Okay. Now this rice is only found in the ally of Himalayas. So they were, and if you are not careful, you take a little here, and I went with a professor in Ghana. So thank God I use a little bit of wisdom. When he said, thank you very much. I move to the next table. So by the time we move about 27 stand, the professor beside me, his tray was like this. I mean, why I was watching this on Yibo people, I said, let me see the way that they do. Someone just take a pinch, they'll go. But this is my Ghanaian professor. I was not yet a professor then. I was still a PhD holder, a young PhD holder. He was already a professor, so I respected him so much. He would just take a spoon, put it there. But then we got there, when we got to the table, it was very clear at the table where we sat that his own hip stand. His tray stood out among all the trays. And by the time we started finish, he said, Dr. Salami, say, I'm ashamed of myself. Then I know the. So when you are talking of royal food, I had to help him out. I was still very young, so I could take the shame for him. I could take the fall. So I went to call the waiters. Please come and carry this. Because he couldn't even call them to carry it away. And for as long as he stood there, it was an embarrassment for him. So anyway, now talking about the royal food. So if it was just the food in the state house, you can imagine the royal food. If I can still remember them telling me the story of every meal on the table. So but the Daniel was appointed a daily provision of the king's meat and the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 7. Unto whom the prince of Enoch gave names, for he gave them unto Daniel, Belshazzar, and to Ananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, of Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. That's just verse 8. And look at where, because that's where I'm going. Verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defy himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of eunuchs that he might not defy himself. They were supposed to prepare for 3 years to be nourished, and they want them to be well fed and be overfed. Royal food, royal wine, everything. Because they didn't want to lack anything. Essential vitamins. But Daniel knew that this is poisonous. See, this is a curse mean. Attractive, but it's a poison. He decided he will only eat what? Pulse. And the was afraid that they want to look choppy, they want to look fresh, they want to look very good. But I said, no, I will not defy myself with this.
I will have fatness of the body, but leanness of the soul. Said no. But what the Bible say? After three, when they appear, they said they were more nourishing, they were more fresh, they were more heavy than those who heard me. What happened? Grace. Because they refuse to defy themselves with the royal portion, the grace of God was poured upon them and made up for any deficiency. For anybody who will live in righteousness, and whatever similar you think you are losing, the grace of God will make it up for you. So this morning, if there's anybody that is missing out on anything, I call upon God to release his grace and make it up for you in Jesus' name. And finally, before we pray, we just read Esther chapter 2, verse 17, and go into prayer. Can you see there? Esther chapter 2, verse 17. Esther chapter 2, verse 17. Let somebody read it for me, please. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all virgins. All virgins were qualified. Some of them were more qualified. But because of grace that came upon Esther, royal crown was set upon her head. Esther did not get that crown because of her qualification. She didn't get that crown because of her background, but because she received grace. God caused grace to come upon her. When grace flows, favor flows. This morning, grace and favor will flow into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And the crown you are looking for, crown we are talking about, not just physical crown. For some people, the crown they are looking for is a job. For some people, the crown they are looking for is a child. For some people, the crown they are looking for is a wife. For some people, they are looking for, the crown they are looking for is a husband. The crown which you have been longing and seeking, the grace of God, we call the God Almighty to put it upon your head right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Any legal ground upon which the enemy is standing, which is holding to and is denying you your crown, today I remove that legal ground in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says he has not beheld iniquities in Jacob, even though iniquity might be found. Joshua the high priest came before God. He was wearing a filthy garment. But the enemy saw the filthy garment. God decided not to see it. And when the enemy was happy on it, God said, remove it. God removed it because God didn't want to see it, not because it was not there. That is grace. Because Joshua the high priest was in the covenant, was covenanted with God. And that's why I'm saying, anybody's not born again today, call me to that covenant, so that there won't be any legal ground against you again. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, nor perverseness in Israel. That is grace at work. This morning, grace will begin to work in your life. I like that song we sang in the morning. And when you look at that song, know that that's at working of grace. Go,
bí mo ṣe ń wà. Kò wo bí mo ṣe ń ṣe. Kò wo bí mo ṣe ń tọrọ. O ṣá ń tọ́jú mi lójoojúmọ́. Kò wo bí mo ti ń sọ̀rọ̀. Kò wo bí mo ti ń ṣe. Kò wo bí mo ti ń wà.
O ṣá ń tọ́jú mi lójoojúmọ́.
Stand on your feet.
Kò wo bí mo ṣe ń fara. Kò wo bí mo ṣe ń ṣe. Kò wo bí mo ṣe hùwà. O ṣá ń tọ́jú mi lójoojúmọ́. Kò wo bí mo ṣe ń ṣe. Kò wo bí mo ṣe ń ṣe. Kò wo bí mo ṣe hùwà. O ṣá ń tọ́jú mi lójoojúmọ́. Kò wọ́ bí mo ṣe hùwà. Ó ṣá ń tọ́jú mi lójoojúmọ́. Kò wọ́ bí mo ṣe ń sọ̀rọ̀. Kò wọ́ bí mo ṣe ń ṣe. Kò wọ́ bí mo ṣe hùwà. Ó ṣá ń tọ́jú mi lójoojúmọ́.
We are going to ask for the outpouring of grace upon our life. Can you begin to ask, begin to pray for the outpouring of grace upon your life? Yes, the grace that has all sufficiency, outpouring of grace, the grace that put the crown, that set the crown upon the head of Esther above all virgins. All virgins were qualified, but grace separated Esther. Grace recognized and located her. Grace gave her the crown. Is there something you are looking for that has been so difficult, that is competitive, that is hard, that it is tough? Ask for grace this morning. Ask for grace this morning. Is there an area of inability in your life? Is there an area of weakness in your life? Is there an area where you said no, you are not qualified? Is there an area where you know you are below measure? Begin to ask for grace in those areas this morning. Is there an area that has become problematic for you? Is there something that have been so difficult for you? Is there a mountain that is standing before you? Can you ask for grace this morning? Can you ask for grace in those here this morning? The grace of God that passes all understanding. Grace of God is beyond understanding. It's beyond comprehension. It is beyond calculation. It is beyond rationality. It is beyond logic. It is just grace. It is just grace. It is just grace. It is just the grace from God, from the throne of mercy. And when grace comes, it is accompanied by favor. When there is grace, favor is in abundance. Can you begin to ask for favor? That the favor of God will give you that thing you are looking for. That the favor of God will grant you that thing.
In Jesus' name we pray. God, we pray the final prayer to random. All eyes closed. Anybody you know, you are not in that covenant this morning. You cannot receive grace outside the covenant. But this morning, you want to see the opportunity to come to that covenant of bond with Christ. Can I see your right hand up anywhere you are? So that will pray for you. It's only then that this prayer will work. There's anybody here who want to come to that covenant with Christ this morning, so that the grace of God will work your life. Can I see your right hand up anywhere you are in the God? God bless you. Raise it very well. Raise it very well. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You are coming into a place of honor. Yes, I'm waiting for others. God bless you. Is there any other person again? For I pray the final prayer to seal up this prayer. And I can assure you, grace and favor will be upon you. God bless you. I'm waiting for others. You want to come to that covenant? Jacob came into that covenant. And that way God said, I do not bear iniquity in Jacob, nor perverseness in Israel, because he took that step. I want to join these people who are raising their hands. I wait for 30 more seconds and I will pray for them. Just come and meet me here. Let me pray for you. Just come and meet me here. Quickly, just come and meet me here. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity that I have this morning to come into covenant with you. Lord, this is a covenant of life. And this morning, I pray that you forgive my past. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Bring me to covenant with you. Today, I enter into covenant with you. And I become your child. And I begin to walk in grace. I begin to walk with your favor. I begin to walk in your light from now till eternity. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now put your hand on your chest as I pray for you. My Father and my God, I pray for this, your children. This morning, I say the blood of Jesus, we are here for you in the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, we are here for you in the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, we are here for you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for your son this morning. I say the blood of Jesus, we are here for you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that the presence of God, we come into his life in Jesus' name. Write his name in the book of life. Let the yoke of the enemy be broken in his life in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, from now onward, let there begin a new journey. New journey of faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Let everybody raise up your hand. Just take this song. The grace of God will locate you anywhere you are. Pass me, O gentle Savior.
Pass me, Lord, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Why, O Lord, as thou art called? Oh,
my Father and my God, there is sufficiency in your grace. This morning, let every lack in the lives of your people be replaced with the sufficiency of your grace. In the mighty name of Jesus. That lack, physical, spiritual, financial, marital, emotional, or even earthwise, whatever is lacking in the lives of your people this morning, and it's a source of worry unto them, my Lord and my God, let them be supplied by the sufficiency of your grace in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are God of sufficiency. You are not a God of lack. You are God of sufficiency. You are not a God of need. You are God of sufficiency. You are not a God of wants. Father, whatever is missing in the life of your people this morning, that's not making their joy to be full and complete. Lord, let the sufficiency of your grace supply it unto them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Receive the supply by grace.
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 Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you,
we bless your name. In Jesus' name we are praying.